Off the Ball, GAA.
I actually text Tommy Rooney for tips on how to start a podcast. I was pricing ayahuasca retreats, so I think for the safety of everybody, it's better off just to throw all the headspace into an intercounty game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
On episode 2 of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors podcast, the stories behind the transfers that almost happened but just about didn't. Focuses on one of the greatest of all time, Pelé.
Pelé. Baba, back to Pelé. Now what's he going to do? He's got the third! Oh, beautiful goal!
And how the Santos superstar nearly swapped Brazil for Hanover. And how a Nazi ice machine salesman nearly pulled the deal off. Dropping in your OTB football podcast feed this Monday. Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
Off the Ball.
You're welcome back. So the Winter Olympics begins in Milan Cortina this weekend. The opening ceremony is happening tomorrow evening at the San Siro. Ireland have four athletes participating in the Games. So we've got cross-country skier Thomas Maloney-Westgaard, whose name you'll probably remember the most. It's his third time going into the Winter Olympics. We've got Annabel Zubray, who will compete in the slalom and giant slalom. We've got Cormac Comerford going in the downhill giant slalom run and Super G. And Ben Lynch is going to compete in the freestyle skiing halfpipe event. Now, it could have been five Irish athletes at the Games because Elsa Desmond, who became Ireland's first luge athlete at the Olympic Games and was the team's flag bearer at Beijing in 2022, has missed out in contentious circumstances. So a Russian athlete competing as a neutral has essentially taken the slot at this Olympics despite not meeting the eligibility criteria according to the Irish Luge Federation. And to find out a little bit more about this, I'm very happy to say that Elsa Desmond is with us on the line. Elsa, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm okay.
Talk us through this story here, and the qualification process is obviously the entire story that we want to talk about here. So the very beginning, post-Beijing, I presume it's a couple of years before you start turning your eyes towards Italy. When does your qualification campaign begin? What do you have to do? What do you know is on the table with regards to actually qualifying for 2026?
So our qualification began 2 years before the game, so 2024. But the real crux of this has been within the last couple of months. And to qualify for the Olympics, there's obviously the points that you need for your ranking. But there's also a number of tick boxes that you need to complete certain criteria just to even be eligible to go to the Olympics. And that's where the issue has come. This particular athlete, the neutral athlete, didn't complete one of these tick boxes. And so they were given an extension to do this in an extended time. But there's very strict criteria within the rules about why you can have this extension. It says concrete reason, injury. It doesn't give any other examples, and it actually says it must be injury within the rules. And yet this athlete wasn't injured. This athlete wasn't sick. This athlete had access to a track. This athlete chose not to slide so they could recover from jet lag, from what we can see. There's no evidence that we've seen that anyone's been able to present that shows anything else. And yet they gave this athlete the extension anyway, allowing them a lot more time to complete the criteria and to go to the Olympics when they didn't meet the criteria.
So the athlete in question is Russian athlete Daria Olesik, who is going to compete as a neutral athlete over the course of these games. So at a World Cup event in Germany last month, which was held by the International Luge Federation, this is the event where she essentially qualifies.
So there was two German events. There was one where she was able to compete, and that would have been part of anyone's qualification criteria. Yeah. But then they gave her an extension to use an additional event, which none of the rest of us could use. And that's the one where the extension should only be for injury, according to the rules.
Yeah.
And they let her use this extra event, and no one, even that, even the International Federation, can't explain why that decision was made.
So the two events, there was one in December, which is one where pretty much all the Russian athletes, all of them, I believe, Elsa, were unable to attain visas in order to compete in Germany.
Yeah, so that event is actually irrelevant.
Okay.
It was two back-to-back races in Germany at different locations within January.
Okay.
So the first one she was at, quite rightly, we were all there, we were all competing, it was relevant for all of us. And the second one, they only counted for her because she'd got this weird exemption that none of us can understand.
So this was after the January 2nd deadline, this second event?
Yes.
Okay, because that's the deadline to meet the criteria. There's been some suggestion that the reason why there has been an extension granted to this athlete is because of the visa issues the previous month.
So they're saying that there was some suggestion around that it was because they couldn't go to Latvia. But the actual thing that they missed within the criteria wasn't a race. It was 20 training runs, which they were in Sochi with a working track, no injury, functional sleds, and simply chose not to do. That's why we're all confused why the International Federation has gone, well, you chose not to do it, so let's give you extra time and more opportunity, when it was a conscious choice not to meet the criteria.
So you might just explain that for us, because it is quite unusual. It's very, very different, certainly compared to a lot of the Summer Olympics games,
yes,
in terms of how you qualify. So these 20 runs, these practice runs essentially that you have to do to qualify, this is all part of the criteria that's required. So,
yes.
So explain the suite of things that you have to complete.
So you have to do a certain number of World Cup races. So that's two in the Olympic season if you're a higher ranked athlete, or five if you're getting less points. You also have to do a certain number of safe runs down the Olympic track to show that you can safely complete that course. And then it's also about ranking for selection. And then there's this other element where you do either two races in the beginning of January or one race and a week of training. And they decided not to complete that final element. So they were not able to go to one of the races because it was in Latvia and they didn't have visas. However, they could have easily completed the training and chose not to. And the FIL, the International Luge Federation, said that that was fine and that they could qualify anyway.
Have they given a reason as to why they didn't complete that training?
No.
Okay. So this is the crux of it.
They've said that they were unable to, but they gave no reasoning. We've seen the emails between the International Luge Federation and the Russian Olympic Committee, because we took it to court, and they've simply said that they couldn't do it. There was no explanation given, no evidence, no nothing.
This is what it all boils down to, really, is the fact of these practice moments in Russia. Now, before I come to the story, I would have the general sort of preconception about Russia, where it's hard to actually prove in a country that is sort of banished from the world at the moment that you can actually effectively practice, or any sort of evidence that you want to show from Sochi, which kind of has its own sort of controversial history. Any evidence that you want to show from Sochi is probably going to be controversial when it comes to backing up your case to compete at an Olympic Games. Is there a chance that was a factor here at all, Elsa, where the international organization just basically would not take the Russians at face value when they were giving them information from behind their own border, in their own camp, in Sochi?
Absolutely, and that may have been a factor. However, they had quite a long period of knowing that they were not going to get the Latvia visas and that they would need to do these training runs. And they don't require visas to slide in China. China has been their second sort of training site throughout this ban. And the Chinese track was open and safe to use. So again, there's nothing stopping them from going and doing these training runs in China. They had options of tracks even, and they still chose not to fulfill that requirement.
Explain to us then how close you were to actually getting the opportunity to compete. As we've seen, there's 106 windows for people to slide across all the different luge events. I know there's 105 different athletes. There's one athlete who's competing across two different disciplines, and maybe that could have opened the door for you as well. Are you literally athlete number 106 or spot number 107?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So I, according to the rules, I qualified, and according to the rule book, she didn't. And that's the whole crux of this situation, is that if we're actually following the rules, I got that quota spot and not her.
Sure. But she got more points, ranking points, than you, I presume.
Yes, yeah. She did. However, she didn't meet, obviously, all the eligibility criteria.
Yeah. Yeah.
So had she not been granted this weird exception for whatever reason, I would be in Milan right now.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've explained it all very well there. I'm sure everybody's kind of been brought along on this, and we know the situation, because it did seem complicated at the outset, but it seems pretty clear cut now. Just a couple of pieces before we get back into the technicalities of it all again. This must have been a pretty insane few weeks, knowing that you are on the bubble, knowing that your dreams of competing in Milan are hanging by a thread, regardless of the controversy that was to come in January, the fact that you were potentially going to be athlete 106 or 107, that must have been incredibly dramatic from your standpoint.
It has. It's been an incredibly tough season. I was also on a new sled this season, and that was quite a transition as well. It's been an absolute roller coaster of a season. I also picked up an elbow injury in the beginning of January. It's been a huge roller coaster, a really tough few weeks, a few months even. And so for it to end like this has been, it's been a really emotional time.
Because when you have that injury, are you thinking to yourself, well, God, you can forget about 2026 now, but then all of a sudden you managed to get yourself back from that injury and you're in contention to qualify. The dream was taken away, was back in your court again, and then taken away again, it seems.
Yeah, and I really had to work hard to fight through that injury. That was a huge thing for me to overcome mentally as much as physically, because when you have a nasty crash like that, it can be quite hard to get back on the sled and to race again in just a couple of days. So that was a really big thing for me to work through and to overcome. And I did that thinking that this is what I need to do to make the games, because at that point we knew that this Russia situation was going on, and we knew that they hadn't met the criteria. So from my perspective, I was fighting through this injury to be in Cortina.
When do you first hear about the fact that Russia might be able to get themselves in via loophole, or in your words, just by not meeting the criteria whatsoever? When did the alarm bells first start going off in your head?
Around the 5th of January, when we found out that this was happening. So we've been trying to raise this through formal routes for weeks. So we'd been emailing the International Luge Federation. They hadn't been cooperating. They weren't being transparent. Our lawyers sent letters in and they refused to answer them. They just ignored the letters. They've had no transparency on this issue. And actually, we didn't really get any response to them until we took them to court. That was the first time we really got any response from the International Luge Federation. And then obviously in court, the International Olympic Committee came and fought very hard that this case would not be heard, that this case would be ruled no jurisdiction. And that, unfortunately, is what happened and what we've seen with lots of athletes' cases that have gone to the Court of Arbitration for Sport in the last few weeks, is that the International Olympic Committee has fought very hard for them not to be heard in court.
Okay, that's interesting. I hadn't quite realised the IOC were that proactive in terms of class dealings.
Absolutely. So they sent in a briefing with four or five reasons why they felt this case should not be heard. Everything from they didn't feel that we were the correct organisation to bring it, to the fact that it was 11 days before the games and their jurisdiction technically is only 10. Like all these reasons that they didn't want this case to be heard from the IOC side.
That's interesting, because I had seen the detail about the 10 versus 11 days. And look, it's really annoying to read that, but at least you can kind of accept that to some degree. But I hadn't realised there were other factors there in terms of the IOC's argument. Why were you not the correct argument, or the correct organisation to bring this argument to court in the eyes of the IOC?
They felt it should be our Olympic Committee bringing it and not the Irish Luge Federation.
Did you ask your Olympic Committee?
Oh yeah, we had their support in making this appeal. So in the end, that was not what they ruled on. They ruled on the 11 days. However, then it gets you into this really tricky place of, your options are either this emergency sort of hearings for the Olympics, but you can't hear anything that happens more than 10 days before, or you go through the route of a normal hearing, which takes 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
So for athletes in my situation, there is absolutely no option. There's no way that these international federations can be held accountable. They don't have to follow the rules because there's no consequences.
And also, as you say, the alarm bells, which is quite an astonishing answer, actually. I couldn't quite believe this. The alarm bells for you started to be raised on the 5th of January. one month before the start of the Olympic Games, which is such a mm-hmm. tiny window for everything to go into this state of chaos. So if 30 days is your window when this case actually arises in your own consciousness, then surely there should be some sort of system where a smaller window than 10 days can be applicable for CAS to hear something in an emergency situation.
Absolutely. And it's like, I've never been in this situation before, so I wasn't aware of the flaws in this system. But for an athlete in my position, your options are go through the internal process within your international federation. And we did that, and it was an incredibly biased process. We didn't have a chance to win that at all. They gave the International Luge Federation more time than they gave us. They said that it was fine for them to send their documents directly to the arbitrator, but we had to share ours with everyone. So it was an incredibly biased process. Or you go through the CAS 10-day system, which we weren't able to because of the time frame, or you do a 6 to 9 month hearing, in which case the Olympics are done. So you're just left with no options. There is nowhere you can go as an athlete like me.
It's a really, really tricky situation. Not least because you also have to deal with this on your own quite a bit. Like, from what I've read, as I've mentioned at the top, you're Ireland's first ever luger. And luger, is that the phrase that we use?
Yeah.
A slider in luge. And I get the sense that the Irish Luge Federation is kind of you, and there's not a massive amount of people working in that federation, that you kind of have to deal with this on behalf of the federation kind of on your own.
It's me and my parents.
Okay,
that's
right.
Who the federation are. We don't employ anyone. It's just me and my parents keeping this thing afloat, helping our development athletes, our juniors, whoever else needs the support. And so it really has been me and my mum sorting this with the lawyers and trying to sort everything.
That must be incredibly difficult, like trying to take on what I assume is a pretty gigantic organization, given looking through it here, obviously based in Germany, and it oversees a sport that is massive in so many countries around the world, and maybe going up against it as an Irish Luge Federation, it feels like a David versus Goliath situation.
And it very much was. And we've had a number of lawyers look at this case now, and everyone is baffled about how we could not win here, because it is a David versus Goliath situation, but there's laws, you know, there's laws and there's rules, and they're meant to be followed. And just because they're bigger than us and have more money than us doesn't mean that we shouldn't be heard and we shouldn't be able to win this, when there's very clear evidence that the rules were broken. And yet we're in the situation where we can't win. It's just baffling. And I think that most athletes are not aware that this is the case, that these international federations cannot be held accountable, that we are putting our lives in their hands and they can do what they like.
It does also raise the question for a number of other organisations about the reintroduction of Russia to international competition. Granted, this is as neutral athletes, but we've seen it from a FIFA standpoint, from an IOC standpoint this week alone. They are really putting out the message that Russia are about to be reintroduced to world competitions. Anything that's happening this year or in the next 18 months, you'd imagine there's going to be a lot of these situations that crop up when it comes to eligibility and trying to get people into the competition to participate. You would think the common sense thing here, Elsa, is for organisations to say, in the case of there being a grey area regarding a Russian athlete, let's just add them on to the end of the start list. Let's just increase the pool of participants, as opposed to choosing between X and Y, because it ends up in this very messy situation where clearly a lot of, like, your career now has suffered irreparable damage, because the Olympic Games, the Winter Olympic Games, is the apex of your career. Luckily, you've already got one in the bag, but that is no consolation to you right now.
Yeah, and my previous Olympics was Beijing. It was COVID. Like, I had no family, no friends there. And I'm retired now. So this was my last shot at a Games. And I will never get a Games with the people that have helped me get there because of this decision that they've made. And it is really tricky, because I don't care. I almost don't care that they're Russian. Any athlete who was given this exemption, I would be in the same situation. I would be appealing it. But I think it's because they are Russian that they were given the exemption. Like, I don't think any other nation would have been given this.
Why do you say that?
There has been a very strong move within the International Luge Federation to give the Russian athletes as much support as is possible and to bend the rules to facilitate them. And And that's what we've been seeing, unfortunately, on the ground as athletes, is that there's been a lot of pressure from the International Federation to make sure that they are facilitated as much as possible. And I think that's really what led to this. And I don't understand why. I don't know why that's been happening, but that's what it seems to be on the ground.
Because I think it speaks to the couple of points that I've referenced there with regards to FIFA and the IOC this week. It feels that we've got to a situation with Russia now where it almost feels as if they are being excluded unfairly in a way where it's kind of like saying we've forgotten about the flag, we've forgotten about the country that you represent. We are now personally banning you and you should take it personally as a slider, as a footballer, whatever your sport may be. And it kind of feels that that level of sympathy has now infected every sporting boardroom in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I have nothing wrong with Daria as a person. I have absolutely nothing personal against her. She's a very young athlete. She's a good slider. I've no issues with her as an individual. And I suspect that she probably doesn't even know that this has happened because it was her Olympic committee and her federation that were managing all of these things. She's probably just been told you slide these dates, you don't slide these dates, and you'll qualify. So I'm not even sure she's involved in any of this. I have nothing against her as a person. I have an issue with the decisions that the International Federation has made and with the IOC supporting those decisions and the fact that the system is set up so I cannot win.
It does feel, we're talking here on the eve of the Games, obviously, that nothing can be done for this Olympic Games. But is there anything else that can happen as a result of this case that would bring any sort of silver lining into this story for you? Because it does feel like an awfully bitter and frustrating end.
I think there's two main things I'd like to see. The first is a change within CAS, because saying that you can only bring cases that happen 10 days before the games means you cannot bring cases around qualification. They're always outside that window. So the actual thing that you're challenging has to happen within 10 days of the opening ceremony, which means it's the 27th of January for these games, but all of qualification happens before that. So I'd love to see an extension in that deadline, maybe to 30 days before the games. So athletes in my situation have someone they can go to get a non-biased arbitration, someone to look at this case and go, yeah, this was right, this was wrong. And the other thing is I want to see a change within the International Luge Federation. They've been ignoring their own rules. This isn't the first time. We've been seeing this for years from the International Luge Federation, and no one's holding them accountable and no one's questioning it. And there needs to be a change within the International Luge Federation, because small nations are giving their time and giving their money in a way that big nations don't. We're self-funded. And for you to then change the rules because you feel like it, it's not acceptable.
How are you going to feel watching the games over the next couple of weeks, if at all?
Oh, I will not be watching the games over the next couple of weeks.
That is a totally fair answer and probably what I would do in your situation as well. The retirement point, that sounds pretty final.
Yeah, I was kind of on the fence coming into this season about what I wanted to do. I did have ideas about maybe continuing another 4 years, but this has really finalized things for me that I could go 4 more years and then be in a situation where I'm qualified again and get it taken away because they feel like it. Like, there is nothing to hold them to giving me a spot, even if I earn it. And I don't want to be in that situation again in 4 years.
So this is entirely down to the situation as opposed to feeling that your love for the sport or your kind of athletic capabilities have gone or anything like that. This is completely down to what's happened over the last month.
Absolutely. I set three new Irish records this season. Like, I came into this season at the peak of my fitness. Like, I am still a decent slider and I'm at a good age for the sport as well. And I absolutely love being on a sled. I plan to do some masters races out in the US in the next couple of years and try to still stay on a sled. But I don't want to sacrifice everything knowing that I'm going to be beaten down by the International Luge Federation again and again and again.
One last thing, Elsa. Look, you've explained that, you know, the Irish Olympic Federation have done everything in their power to help you, it seems. And obviously yourself and your parents are literally the Luge Federation. You've clearly done everything you can within your own sporting federation. When it comes to a sport like this, does it feel that being Irish and, you know, representing Ireland just makes you, again, does it bring you back into this sort of David versus Goliath situation where we're not respected as a country when it comes to certain dealings because you're up against a superpower like Russia and like the International Federation being based in Germany, and they look at a small setup here in terms of luge and they say that's inconsequential for us.
Absolutely. And we have seen this again and again throughout my luge career. There is big nations and there are small nations, and they make decisions that benefit the big nations. And they kind of forget we exist. And as a result of this, we are the collateral damage of their decisions. They want better start, like they want better ice quality. So they want to be going right at the start of the race, the big nations. They want to be the first down that hill. But that means that then all the small nations have no chance because we're now competing on slush. Then we have to go at the end. And we don't get TV time, we can't get sponsorship because they just want the top athletes to be televised. They want to be able to increase the prize money, but that funding has to come from somewhere, so they take it away from the small nations. So it's this constant balance of they're trying to please the big nations, and in doing that, they're forgetting about the small nations and we're suffering. There is not a single athlete at these Olympics from the small nations team within luge, and we had 10 at the last games.
Okay, wow. So if I went through the 100 and what is it, five different athletes, they're all the your USAs, your Norways, your neutral athletes representing a country that might be Russia, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you have a couple of smaller nations like Korea, but again, full-time athlete has a track,
they've hosted
fully
the Olympics.
Funded start facility. Like, yeah, they've hosted the Olympics. Switzerland, again, there's only one athlete, but they're not really a small winter nation. Sweden, the same. But your small nations, your Great Britain, your Ireland, your Estonia, you're not going to see any of those. Your Bosnia as well. He was one out on the men's side.
Right.
And none of us are there because of the decisions that they've made.
Well, Elsa, I hope you managed to find some joy in those Masters events in the United States that you've mentioned there.
Thank
and
you.
That you get back to your sport and find your love for it, even though the organization, in terms of the Olympic version of the sport, has not served you well over the past month or so. I appreciate you coming on. And thank you for speaking to us. I was just about to say enjoy the Olympic Games, but that's not going to be a figure of your living room here, I think. Elsa Desmond,
nope.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Off the ball.